God, we do. We praise you. We do praise you. Before we get started, before we have a seat, I just want to mention something that has been resonating in our hearts this morning, that there's a sensing as we've been praying and talking that people are just tired, that some of you have navigated hard things, that you have had people come through your families. I've talked to a couple of mamas this morning that had sick kids that missed a lot of school, and the kids got better and went back to school, and then they got sick again. And it feels like people are saying, it just feels like one thing after another. It just keeps coming, and it keeps coming, and we're tired. And as we prayed into this morning, the intercessory team said, we're also sensing that people are just tired because everything feels the same. That they have a sense of what's the point. And so I just want to encourage you for a moment, if you're comfortable and you just feel tired, one thing after another, can you put a hand on your heart and let's just ask God. He's already touching this. He's already speaking into it. But let's ask him in your fullness, Father God, will you touch this space? Jesus, we say to you that there are spots in our lives where we're just tired, that it feels like one thing after another has happened, that it keeps coming and it's coming and we can't get our feet under us. We can't get our breath. Jesus, you see this different than the way we see it. Your perspective is different than our perspective. So give us your eyes. Give us your energy. Give us the stamina, Holy Spirit, to persevere and endure. And God, may today we encounter your goodness that encourages us to keep on. In the name of Jesus, we receive your rest. We receive your peace and we receive your perspective. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You go ahead and have a seat. I'm Kim Wheeler. I'm the adult ministry director here at Christ Fellowship. I get to speak with you guys today. I'm super excited about that. I love it when I get the opportunity to share with you. And anytime that Derek asks me if I will speak, he always says, just talk about whatever God's teaching you right now. And so I'm going to do that, and we're going to wrap up this series that's been called Change, and we're going to do it by talking about change your focus. What is it that we're looking at? It seems like, I think you all will agree with this, that it seems like that we have been in a whirlwind of change for the past, I don't know, almost 3 years. That for most of us, every area of our life has been touched and changed in some way. And in some of those things, it's been really good change. In some of the ways, it's been bad change, because that's the nature of change. Sometimes it's super uncomfortable. Sometimes it is comfortable. But we can all agree that change has happened. But here's what we understand. Scripture tells us that God is the same, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But Scripture also tells us that he does new things, and that we should be looking for that. And so that's a tension that we live in. That's a place where we are invited just to wrestle with God to understand, what is it like to be the eternal God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but also brings about new things? That's the space that we can sit today. And I think a lot of you have probably heard me talk about what happened in my life in the beginning of 2020. In the beginning of that year, I sensed that the Lord was speaking to me and asking me a question. And the question was, can you be satisfied with just me? And that started a conversation between Jesus and me that went on for the better part of 2 years, where I worked through the answer to that question. And I felt like that in that space, that what the Lord was teaching me was to come up higher. He was inviting me to come up higher, to see things from a different perspective, to get his perspective on all the things that were happening around me, and then to bring his perspective into my everyday life. But now, here we are at the end of 2022, and I'm feeling like that the Lord has shifted things again, and that he has an invitation for us that's new. And I believe that the invitation that he has for us that is new is this. I think that he is saying, let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. And I believe that he's saying it not just to pastors, not just to people on church staffs, but to every single one of us, that he's inviting us into a new space to know him and experience him in fresh ways. Ways that aren't necessarily new to him because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but they may be new to us in our experience of him. And the question is, are we going to go deeper with him? I want to tell you how I got to this place of sensing that he was calling us deeper, but I have to give you backstory first. So backstory, I'm afraid of water. And if you giggle about that, it's okay because I'm a grown woman. I shouldn't be, but I am. I'm afraid of water. Even though I took swimming lessons when I was a little girl, I never learned how to swim. So I usually follow that information up with, but if I fell into water, I probably wouldn't drown. That's what I usually say. I don't know how to swim, but if I fell in water, I probably wouldn't drown. Actually, I don't know if that's true. If I fell into water, I very well might drown. So for the sake of not knowing if that's true or not, I don't get around a whole lot of water. So you can imagine that I was really perplexed at the beginning of this year. It was sometime in early 2022. I had a dream where I wanted to go swimming. And in this dream, I had filled out an application and given it to the director of pools at the Y. I don't know if there is a director of pools, but there was in my dream. And I had given them my application and it had been approved. And I was going to get to go swimming. And in the dream, I was there at the pool and the director of pools had gone to get me a towel. And I was standing there waiting to get in the water. And suddenly, in my dream, I had the realization, I don't know how to swim. And I thought, this is going to be super embarrassing. If I could get in the pool and do laps, I would at least look like I knew what was going on, but I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm going to have to get in the pool and just stay in the shallow end and kind of walk around, or maybe hold on to the edge until I can kick my feet. But I can't do anything that's not in the shallow end of the pool. And I'm going to look ridiculous. All this I'm thinking in my dream. I'm going to look ridiculous when people come in and they see a grown woman standing in the shallow end of the pool, not doing anything. And in my dream, before the director of pools could come back, I gathered up all my stuff and I left. And I sat on that dream for the next several weeks, and it solidified in my mind that God is inviting us, let's go deeper. And I didn't want to be that person who was too afraid and gathered my things and walked away. It introduced the whole idea to me that God is asking us to come into a space where we can imagine big things and then he will blow those out of the water. That he was inviting us into a space where we could experience his healing power, his protection, his provision in ways that we had never, ever experienced it before. But it was going to take us taking a step to agree to go deeper. And I'm betting that everyone in this room, I really do believe this, that everyone in this room could say that there is something in your life that you sense God is calling you to join him in. That there's something that you just can't shake out of your mind that you know is him inviting you to go deeper. And maybe you don't know the specifics of what it looks like or how you're going to move forward or where you will end up, but there's just something inside of you that's tugging and saying, follow me here. Do this with me. I am convinced that this is happening. And even though that I am convinced that this is happening, and I'm sure that the invitation is on the table, I still get my focus off of Jesus way too many times, more times than I want to admit. I'll be really honest with you. I'm honest with you when I said I don't know how to swim. That was pretty honest. I'll be honest with you again. I love it when I get invited to speak. When Derek asks me to come on Sunday mornings, I love that. If I get invited to other places, I just love to teach. It feels like the call on my life. Some of you all know that I taught high school for the first 20 years of my career. And so this is the place that feels life-giving to me. I love it. But even this that I love so much can get super sideways when I get my focus off of Jesus. And just since we're in this vein of being truthful and honest and vulnerable, I will tell you about how that happened just recently. You all know Jamie Winship, yes? Know Winship? Winship's our outreach director here at Christ Fellowship. And I'll start by saying that I feel really blessed to call Jamie Winship my friend. He is an incredible man. He is wise and funny and deep and encouraging, and his life is remarkable. He has been a police officer, a missionary, a writer. He has been an author of books and a writer of curriculum and a speaker, and he knows everybody, like everybody. He knows everybody. My esteem for Winship is just out the roof. I love him so much. So I want to be sure we're solid on the fact that I love Jamie before I tell you this story. He's great. But about a month ago, I got invited to speak at this event at a local elementary school that was called Moms and Muffins. And I was going to speak at Moms and Muffins. It's a PTA event that happens in the morning before school starts. And so I asked my daughter, Abby, if she would go with me, because she had been through that elementary school when she was a little girl. And I said to her, let's go to Moms and Muffins together. And she agreed. So we get there and we walked in the door. And the very first person I saw was the lady who invited me. And this is what she said to me. She walked up to me and she said, I'm so glad you're here. Jamie Winship came the last time that we did this for dads, and they loved him. They can't wait for him to come back. And before I even knew what was happening, out of my mouth shot the words, I said, I'm not Jamie Winship. And as soon as I said it out of my mouth, I got all up in my head, because I started thinking, oh, that's right, I'm not Jamie Winship. I started thinking about everything that Winship is that I'm not. And I was thinking, oh no, they're not going to like me the way that they liked him. They're not going to want me to come back. I bet they won't be able to wait for me to come back. They don't want to have Jamie. I was so up in my head that I started thinking, I need to be funnier. I will try to be funnier. If I can tell jokes, then I will be like Jamie Winship. And I should tell a time about when I was a policeman, except that I wasn't a policeman, so I can't do that. I mean, I was so focused on what I was going to do to be like Winship, that I had made myself almost sick. And I turned to Abby, and all I could get out was, I'm really nervous. And she said, don't be. If only I had thought of that. But I was, and I couldn't shake it out of my mind that I needed to be like Winship, and I wasn't like Winship, and that these people weren't gonna like me. And it was such a mess in my head. And then I thought really, really quickly, God has given us places in the Word. He has given us places in the Word where we know what to do when we get sideways. Fortunately, He's given us a whole lot of places, but I want to show you one today, because I think that this will help all of us in where we are right now. So flip over, if you've got your Bibles, go to Luke 5. We're going to sit in the story of Peter, but before we start reading the specific verses that I want to get to, let me give you just a little bit of backstory of what's happening right here in Luke 5. In Luke 5, Jesus is being followed around by this enormous multitude of people because they want to hear him. They want to be in his proximity all the time. And he's being followed by them everywhere he goes. And on this particular day, there's a huge multitude on the shore, and they want to hear Jesus speak. And Jesus is wanting to project his voice to all these people and do some other things too, we know. And so he says to Peter, let me get in your boat and you come out from the shore a little ways. That way I can teach the people. They will be able to hear me. And then he teaches, he gives the message that he wants the people to hear. And when he's finished with that, he turns to Peter, because now he has something for Peter specifically. Peter has been fishing all night long without catching anything. And Jesus looks at him, and in Luke 5:4, read what he says. He said to Simon, that's Peter, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, I'll tell you, when I first started looking at this story, I already had this thing in my head that God is inviting us into deeper things. So when I read that Jesus said, put out into the deep, I was floored. I was like, oh my goodness, we're really onto something here. You know, when you know that Jesus has confirmed something, this was it. And I got so into this piece of scripture where he's inviting Peter into the deep that I wanted to know, what does that word deep really mean? I'm a word nerd like that sometimes. And so I got out the Bible app and I'm looking at the original Greek. In the Greek, that word deep is bathos. Look at this. It literally means deep water. So literally come out further into the sea. But figuratively, it means the more profound things of God. Can you imagine if Peter in that moment could have understood that Jesus was saying, come out into the profound things of God and throw out your net? Can you imagine if we got a hold of it for just a minute, that that's what Jesus is saying to us? Come out here into the profound things of God. Throw out your net and see just what I'm going to show you. It's the invitation for all of us, not just a few. And so in Luke 5:5, go on with the story. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. I think there's a space that is just beautiful about Peter's obedience. Because he basically says, this makes no sense. I've already tried that. I've already been there. Here's the results I have gotten. What you're asking me to do makes no sense. Nonetheless, we will let down our nets. I love his obedience. I love what he did. And I want to walk like Peter. When Jesus invites us, come into the deep. I don't want to stand on the side of the pool saying, I don't know how to swim. I don't know how to do that. I don't have my towel. I want to go and let down the net and be obedient. So go on. And when they had done this, they were obedient. When they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. And as I was thinking about this and studying for today, I was thinking, I bet a lot of you have seen this in The Chosen, right? You saw the scene in The Chosen where they caught the fish and they get them in the boat and the boat's about to turn over. And we all cheered when we watched it in The Chosen. And Peter was so astounded and Jesus looked so happy and we were all so overwhelmed. And that's just a minute taste of how wonderful and miraculous and awe-stricken it was for Peter. How amazed he must have been when he pulled in all these fish, boats full, to the point of seeking. Can you imagine, just for a minute, what it would have been like to be there? And then after all that excitement and seeing the miraculous provision, look at Peter's response. Verse 8, but when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. And this time, when I read this story, that part broke my heart. Because Peter was right there and he saw it. He saw what Jesus could do. He saw the miraculous. He had said yes and been a part of something that was beyond what he could imagine. And then he got introspective. He started looking at himself. He took his focus off of Jesus and put it onto him. And he starts thinking about his sin. And for a long, long time, for as long as I can remember, pastors and teachers have talked to us about how this is a scripture about the moment of Peter realizing his sin and depravity in light of who Jesus is. And I want to be super clear that I don't doubt that when we get in the presence of Jesus, humility is non-negotiable. Our knees will bow in the presence of Jesus. When that happens, when we see him, when we get a glimpse of him, we are going to be so profoundly awe-stricken that we will be on the ground. So I don't doubt that Peter realized his holiness. I don't doubt that Peter realized his own sin, but I think something in that moment happened that we haven't talked about, and it's that Peter got his focus off of Jesus. Because what world is there when we would look at God and say, Lord, depart from me. Go away from me. Don't stay here with me. Because the reality is this, when we focus on ourselves, our awe can turn to anxiety really fast. But in that moment, the last thing we need to do is ask the Lord to leave. In that moment, the first thing we need to do is say, come closer. Let me get all up in you. Because I was full of awe and now I'm full of anxiety and I want to get back into the awe. I had my eyes on you. I got them on me. I want them back on you again. And I don't think that we're far off to think that this might have happened with Peter, and we're not far off to think that it happens with us. It happens with us too. I want you to know this because I believe that this is profoundly true. Our yes to Jesus is not a one and done. Understand what I'm saying. Your salvation is secure. Your yes to being in the family, sealed, done deal. But your yes of obedience every minute of every day has to become a lifestyle. We get the choice to say yes again and again and again. And lots of times, if we get too focused on us, we stop saying yes. And we're all up in our heads. So that's kind of where I was at Moms and Muffins. I'm sure that Peter the Apostle would love to think that he was being compared to speaking at Moms and Muffins at PTA, but that's exactly where I was. I had gotten all up inside of my head about what was going on here to the point that I had said, I'm really nervous, and I was thinking about, I don't want to do this. I was really considering what's a way to back out at this point. And here's what's so crazy about it. I have experienced God. I have encountered the Lord. I know Jesus. He has spoken to me about this very issue. On Moms and Muffins Day, can I just tell you, I was going around a mountain that I had already been around. How many of us have done that? You ever been around the same mountain more than one time? I was going around a mountain again because I had already, and I remember it so vividly, I could tell you the date. It was March the 17th. I had already been around the mountain of I don't have anything to say. I had sat in a meeting with a group of people who were wise and smart and really deeply into the things of God. And I had come out of that meeting saying, I have nothing to give when it's compared to these folks. They are awesome. I had let that get so in me that I had carried it around for the better part of 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month. I had been around that mountain. I was going around it in March. During that time in March, I had gotten with Gina and I was talking to her and I said, you know, sometimes I don't even think my voice matters. And she and I were on a trip that day that we were talking about it. We were going to North Carolina to hike. And I said, I just don't know what to do because I feel like I don't have anything to say, that my words are worthless. And we went on to North Carolina and we were hiking and we're in a really remote place and in the middle of the woods, and right there, in the middle of the woods, was a big poster board stapled to a tree in the middle of the woods. And it had Spanish words written on it. So I can't swim, I can't read Spanish, long list. It had Spanish words written on it, but the only thing that I knew that it said at the end was Proverbs 31:26. And so immediately I said, wonder what Proverbs 31:26 is. We get out our phones and we start looking. Proverbs 31:26 in March, on the day that I had said to Gina, I have nothing to share. Proverbs 31:26 said, her mouth speaks wisdom and loving instruction is on her tongue. In the middle of a forest on a poster board. So I've experienced God. I know what he says about this issue, but here I was several months later at Moms and Muffins thinking I had nothing to say because I wasn't Winship. All up in my head. And I had about 4.5 minutes to get my focus off of myself and onto Jesus. And so I did the only thing that I knew to do. This is what we've been taught to do, and it's what you can do. Is I knew that I had to tell Jesus what I was thinking. And so I took a second right there in the middle of the school cafegymatorium, and I said, Jesus, I am not Jamie Winship. And then I waited for the first thing that came to my mind, trusting that the first thing that came to my mind would be him because I had asked him to come. So I waited, and the first thing that came to my mind was, and? Like Jesus speaks like Abby, you know, it's a, and? So I went along because this is Jesus, and I said, and I don't have what I need. I sensed that he said, and? And everybody loves Winship. And you've given him all kinds of things that I don't have. And you're holding out on me and I don't feel equipped. And that was it. In that moment, it was like my mind opened up and God said, there you go. Now you're telling the truth. Now we can work with that. Just like I think Peter believed that he could never measure up to go through with what Jesus was showing him, I had come to believe that I couldn't measure up for moms and muffins. And here's the thing, Peter and I were both right that we can't do anything on our own. But with Jesus, we can do everything. And so all we needed was just to shift our focus. When we look at ourselves, instead of looking at Jesus, we will always come up short. We will always come up short. We will end up selling God short, and we will start thinking that he's not who he says he is, and that's all lies. That is all lies, because when we focus on Jesus, the possibilities are unlimited. When we focus on Jesus, the possibilities are unlimited. Okay, I was down to 2 minutes. Moms and Muffins is about to go down. And I've gone through and told Jesus, I think he's holding out on me. And I did what I know that we do now with negative emotions. I've told him how I really feel. I don't think I have what I need. I'm not equipped. And then I said, God, what do you want me to know about this? And I waited. And the first thing that came into my mind was 2 Peter 1:3. And it didn't occur to me until I started putting this together that Jesus used Peter to speak to me in that moment. How awesome is that? But in that second, in the gym, 2 Peter 1:3 came to me and it says, you have been given everything you need for life and godliness. And so I had a choice. I had to either agree with that and change my focus or walk away and say, I'm out, no moms and muffins today. Because we always have a choice if we're gonna believe what God has said. I also sensed that after I heard that scripture, I sensed that Jesus said, be you. And do the talk you planned. And I wish that I could tell you that I feel like I knocked it out of the park, but I don't. I fought through the whole thing not to try to think of a joke. I fought through the whole thing to try to not sound like Winship. And it was finally over, and when it was over, actually, I was glad. But I knew what God had said. And as I went back to my seat and everybody started to file out, head back to do their day, this lady came up to me and she said, I was hoping that maybe you could pray for me. I've been diagnosed with a brain tumor and I'm gonna have to have surgery at the end of October and I'm really afraid and I need someone who will pray. And I got to come alongside her and partner with her faith and believe for her healing and ask God to give her unimaginable peace, and it was beautiful. And then we were driving home and I was talking to Abby and I told Abby, I said, you know, sometimes I just waver between this thing about thinking I'm called to teach and thinking I should just quit altogether. And she said, why would you think that? God doesn't take back an anointing. And I thought, man, Jesus is so good. If I could just get out of I'm not Winship or what am I supposed to say and say, God, how do I join you in what you're doing? Then we can pray for people's healing. We can receive what God wants to anoint it. We can do all kinds of things if we'll get our eyes on him and off of us, our focus on him. And then just about a week and a half ago, I got an email from the lady who invited me to Moms and Muffins. And she said, I have an email that I want to forward to you from someone who was there. And this woman who was there said, "Thank you for sharing at Moms and Muffins. It was exactly what I needed to hear." You don't know how much those words impacted me. God didn't have to do that for me. It was super sweet that he did. It was so good that he did, but he didn't have to. Because I had already solidified in my mind, again, that if we will focus on him, all the rest will come into play. All of the possibilities. So it was good and important to tell God the truth. That's confession. It was good to hear what he had to say. Aligning with what he says is repentance. That's how that works. And he did the exact same thing for Peter that he did for me. As Peter confessed, "I'm a sinful man. I'm looking on myself. Depart from me, Jesus." Jesus did exactly what we all need him to do. He gave him a new possibility. Look at Luke 5:10. And Jesus, there's Peter right in front of him, right? And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid." I think that's one way that we know that Simon had gotten it a little bit sideways, because Jesus addresses the fear. So Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." That's something new for Peter to focus on. Quit focusing on your sinful self. Focus on what I'm asking you. I'm going to call you to catch men, to bring people to the kingdom to understanding. Focus on that. Quit focusing on whatever you were or whatever you've done or whatever Winship's doing. Focus on what I'm saying to you right now. That's the new possibility. And in Luke 5:11, to finish the whole story out, it says that, "And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him." That's the kind of person I want to be. I want to follow God into the deeper things, the more profound things of who he is. I want to leave behind all of my own self-focused thinking and go with him into what he's doing. But you know what occurred to me about, "And they left everything and followed him"? Sometimes we get this picture that they left everything and followed him because they kind of had this really good idea of where they were headed. Do you know they had no idea where they were headed? They had no idea what was coming next. I think that we want to say, "Okay, God, I will follow you. Could I please have the blueprint for where I put my foot next? And then the next 7 steps after that. And I would ultimately like to see our destination in the end." And rarely, if ever, do we get that whole picture. I think that what Jesus wants more than that is a relationship with us. And the relationship means that we take one step at a time. And the disciples followed him the same way we need to follow him, which is just do the next thing. I don't know what we might be invited into next week or next month or next year or decade from now, but I know what the next thing is, so we'll do that. And then when the next thing is done and we sense that we're being asked to move again, we'll do that. We won't continue to have the whole entire plan. I had debated on whether or not to share this, but I think that I will, just because I think that it's super funny. I said I want to go into the deep things, and it's kind of like, I want to be like Abby, you know? I want to be like Abby where it's simple. I'm nervous, don't be. I feel like maybe I'm not called. God doesn't take callings back. I want to be that simplistic in my faith. I want to be like Abby was when she was a little girl. We went to the beach when she was really little, and she was like me. It's before she could swim. She can swim now. But before she could, we were at the beach, and we were going to have some friends join us. And on the day that they got there, she was playing in the shallow end of the pool, holding onto the rail, sitting on the steps. And when our friends got there, she was so excited. She got out of the pool and she went out and she was just showing them everything. And she was taking them all around the condo and showing them this, that, and the other thing. And her tour as a little girl ended back at the pool. And she said, "And this is our pool." And she walked right into it, like into the deep part of it. And Jason had to rescue her and get her out. But I was thinking about that when I was thinking of going deeper. I want to be so confident of God that I will step into the deep places without even thinking about whether or not I'm afraid. Knowing that if I get in over my head, my daddy will save me. And we'll be okay. And so here's what I know. I said this when we started. This is what I know. There are places that God's inviting each of us to join him. There's places. And I would like us to wrap up today by just talking to him about that for just a minute in prayer, by asking him three questions. And so I'd encourage you, maybe get a paper and jot down what you sense the Lord is saying. At the very least, jot down the questions so you can talk to him about them this week. But I think that it's worth asking him these things. So let's take a posture of prayer where we just focus a minute on Jesus. Maybe close your eyes and picture him if you want to. Maybe just think about who he is. But put your attention, your focus on Jesus. And the question in his presence is, where is God inviting you to experience him in a deeper way? Where is he inviting you to experience him in a deeper way? And don't worry about having all the steps or what comes next. Don't worry if you've even tried that before and it failed. If it seems like he's inviting you, make a note of it. Think about it. Here's the second question. What do you think disqualifies you from saying yes? What do you think disqualifies you from saying yes? Because I'll tell you this, the thing that you think disqualifies you is the very thing that he wants to redeem. The thing that you think disqualifies you is the very thing he wants to touch and restore. And then lastly, God, what do you say about me? Who do you say that I am? God, what do you say about me and who do you say that I am? And I encourage you not to overthink it, to make note of the first thing that comes to your mind, and then this week you can talk to him about it, talk to your faith community about it. Hold it up to scripture and make sure it aligns. But we want to be people who say yes and go into the deeper, more profound things of God. Let's take a minute and just close in prayer by saying, God, we want to experience more of your nature. We want to experience your love, your goodness, your kindness, your healing, protection, provision. We want to see things the way you see them and say what you say. God, we want to do what you're doing. We agree with you. We give you our yes. And we'll give it to you again and again and again. And God, we want your voice to be the one that defines and drives us. No other voice but yours. God, we receive what you want to pour out on us. And we trust you. And we trust you that where we don't trust you, you will make a way for us to trust deeper. You be glorified in our lives, Lord Jesus, so that everyone sees nothing but you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our prayer team is going to be down front. So if you have some things that you kind of want to pray through or you want to process, come and meet with these guys. If you're thinking about places where you're just tired or places where you're feeling invited, anything that you would like someone to pray with you, come down and let that happen. You are a blessed, wonderfully blessed people. Go enjoy the rest of the day. We will see you next week.